Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this last edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn on this 12th of September 2015 as we discuss the world of sports. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can always contact me, follow me at William Gerald on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn. Busy Saturday, one of the great sports weekends in this on the sports calendar, as you have the NFL season, which has already begun but gets into full effect on come Sunday afternoon. With a couple of matchups there, we will go through our NFL picks, the Major League Baseball playoff races, and of course the U.S. Open championships, which will culminate tomorrow afternoon with an all-time classic men's final with Federer and Djokovic, which takes on more importance for the sport of tennis considering what transpired yesterday afternoon at Arthur Ashe Stadium in regards to Serena Williams. I got a chance to see this match, and it was just it was tough to describe this match because normally when you get the classic upset, the player who should win comes out as bumbling and just throughout the course of the match just doesn't find his or her way. The guy or girl who's heavily favored, is a heavy underdog, normally jumps on that player right away. And then, you'll get the player who will start to find that game, but it'll be too late. For Serena Williams to come out and basically hit this girl in the mouth 6-2 first set and then lose the match 4-4 is just something you would not fathom. Yeah, you would fathom, or you would see Serena losing the first set, struggling, playing her way into it, and either winning or maybe losing a tie break in the third set. But for the match to go down the way it went down, it is one of the most shocking results in the history of the sport. I've heard that a lot. I don't think that's overstating it by any stretch of imagination. How Serena lost, the fact that she lost, but how she lost is equally as shocking, even more so than the fact that she lost. This was not Maria Sharapova. This is not Azarenka. This is not a girl, a player who has won majors. This was basically a journeyman, 32-year-old. No name, if you're outside, unless you are just a diehard fan of women's tennis, who was on, this match was not played in, Italy, who was on, home turf for Serena, where she had basically 20,000 people cheering against her. Give the girl credit. I mean, what else can you say? Give her credit. She had, everything possibly that was going against a player she had going against her. Period. There's no two ways about it. You just have to give her all the credit in the world because, this was her this was her moment as far as like that once in a, you know, every a lot of athletes might only get that one moment in their lives where they shine, and the whole world sees them, and that's it. Well, this was, you know, Serena, Roberta Vinci's moment. I mean, again, Roberta Vinci. I never heard Roberta Vinci in my life before, like yesterday, ever. And you know, I know a couple. Like you know, Allison Keys. I know a couple of. I don't follow women's tennis closely to know who's ranked 250th in the world, but I know the better. I know the majority of the top players. Heard their names a few times to know. Hey, this girl's ranked. Okay, she maybe she could threaten Serena and so on. But I never heard of this girl. I just gotta be perfectly honest with you. I've never heard of this girl in my life. And if you had told me before the tournament that a girl who I had never heard of was going to beat Serena Williams, I would have took that bet every day of the week and 10 times on Sunday. Okay. But that's why we watch sports. You know, you never know what is going to happen. This hurts tennis in a big way because, first of all, the final this afternoon has zero juice at all. Nobody's even heard. I mean, the two players that are in it, like, nobody's even basically heard of these players. So nobody's going to have any interest in that match. Zero. Had you had Serena in the final today, I thought that it would have been a centerpiece of the sports world. Remember, Michigan State, Oregon is until prime time tonight. No major college football games coming on in the afternoon. And you could have, you know, tennis could have had that momentum going into tomorrow where you're going to get an all-time classic. The problem is that all-time classic is going to get swallowed by the opening Sunday of NFL football and fantasy football as well. So this match really really affected tennis, not only with the women's, but also the men's final as well. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. Busy show, a lot to do. We'll get into some college football, NFL picks as well. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic put on Friday night was, I mean, Friday evening was just, it really was something to behold. I mean, those two, like, probably the most lopsided semifinal matches that I've seen in a long time in men's tennis. I mean, those two matches were basically, you know, amateur night at the Apollo. I mean, that was, those two matches, I mean, the Djokovic one, Cilic, not a good matchup for Djokovic. Still didn't expect it to be straight, to be that easy and just that easy and that methodical. The Federer, I thought the Federer war record had a chance to be a classic, a 4 or 5 set matchup. And I thought Federer could lose that match against Wawrinka. You know, I picked Federer to win the tournament, but Wawrinka has, you know, this guy, this is a guy who, outside the big three, I don't count Murray in the big four, but outside the big three, has won multiple majors over the past couple of years. Beat Nadal last year in Australia, and defeated Djokovic this year at Roland Garros at the French Open. So, Wawrinka is a major winner, two-time major winner. So for Federer just to basically toy with this guy, it shows you where Federer is at right now in his career. And that matchup tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, is going to be something. Again, I'll be back and forth a little bit with that in the football, because you had, I mean, that those there's only a handful of matchups that you have to watch in tennis. Serena in the final, Djokovic Federer. Those matches, those are two matchups. Those are two, three players you have to watch right now if they're playing against each other. I mean, that's the one matchup. And even Nadal is down right now. I don't, I'm not an Andy Murray fan. Federer Djokovic is absolutely must-see TV when those two get on the flute, when those two get on the court. Played 41 times, 21-20. Djokovic has had Federer's number in the majors the last couple of years, beat him in back-to-back Wimbledons. And they have played some epic U.S. Open, U.S. has some U.S. Open matchups, especially in some semifinals, especially that semifinal in 2011, where Djokovic held off a match point against a couple match points against Federer in that semifinal, ended up beating Nadal in the final. So that's going to be just a great matchup with those two. I picked Federer before the tournament. I don't see anything that I haven't seen anything that's played. Federer hasn't dropped a set in this tournament, and I don't see anything. That's definitely in terms of the matchup yesterday. I was with Wawrinka that would have me change that pick. I will say this: if it goes five, you have to favor Djokovic, because that means it's a physical match. He's the younger of the two, probably more the better condition slightly because of his age. Five, if it goes five, you have to like Djokovic in a five-set match. But I think I like Federer in four sets. Think that he's just on a mission to get title number at Grand Slam number 18. 347-215-6180 is the call number. Of course, couple of college football games to note that we'll talk about, but this is a lot being made of Jim Harbaugh's return to Michigan home opener coming off the loss against Utah. We'll see if they can rebound and get their first win in the Harbaugh era. Alden Smith, who was signed by the Oakland Raiders, is eligible to play, could play Sunday. So Alden Smith, who got released by San Francisco amongst, again, his typical amongst, problems off the field, the DUI, is gets picked up. And listen, if you can, that's the NFL. If you can rush the passer outside of getting locked up, you will always have a place. I mean, Alden Smith has been one of the best since he came to the league 4 years ago. Has been arguably the best pass rusher in the league. I think he has more sacks to start off his career than any player in NFL history, I believe. So there's always going to be a place for a guy who can rush the passer no matter what. And he could play again. He could play on Sunday. Sunday as the Oakland Raiders kick off their season, the Oakland Raiders will kick off their season. A lot of money being thrown around in the NFL. You see AJ Green, Eli Manning get big extensions. Marcell Dareus signed a big extension. So teams are trying to lock up these players, not allowing them to even approach free agency. The players, of course, are going to take the money. So you're seeing some getting a lot of big extensions. Don't pay attention to the total amount of money that's being made, that's being paid to players. There's only two numbers that you really pay attention to when you see these mega extensions. That is the signing bonus, which is money that they see right now, and then the total amount guaranteed. So signing bonus, total money guaranteed is the money that you're gonna see, that you pay attention to the most, without question. 347-215-6180. When we return, on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joel Quinn. We will get into some baseball as well as the Redskins matchup versus the Miami Dolphins. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joel Quinn. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joel Quinn. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Week one of NFL action. Of course, you had the Thursday night game with New England and Pittsburgh. It's no surprise, shock at all. New England takes out Pittsburgh. And you basically got everything that a New England Patriot game that you normally would get with a New England Patriot game with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got Tom Brady throwing the ball all over the place. Got Rob Gronkowski having a big game. And you got the typical Patriot controversy where the Steelers claim that throughout the course of the first half, the majority of the first half, that they had no radio communication. None. And ironically, and maybe by coincidence, as soon as the NFL officials approached the New England Patriots about turning their communication off, about making it so it could be fair amongst the two teams, magically the Pittsburgh communication came back on. So, again, typical New England Patriot game with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was not overly impressed. I'll get to the headset part, but as far as the game goes, I was not overly impressed with the Patriots. Remember, Pittsburgh's playing without three of their best offensive players in Le'Veon Bell. And I know D'Angelo Williams had a big game, but Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant, who could have had a big game in against that New England secondary, which is awful, by the way. Pittsburgh left points on the board. I mean, those missed field goals, they went up and down the field, had 450 yards of total offense. If not for some blown coverages on Gronkowski, and that, the Pittsburgh defense, we know, especially in that secondary in particular, we know that that's going to be a struggle for them over the course of the season, something that they're going to have to get situated if they want to be a legit contender in the AFC. But that some of the blown coverages was like, I had this guy. I mean, Gronkowski could have had 200 yards receiving. I mean, some of these blown guys, there were at least three or four times where he was just absolutely wide open with nobody, with not a defender in sight. So certainly Pittsburgh is going to have to get that situated. But again, New England, we know what Brady can do. They have a very good offense. I'm not in love with their running game. I don't think their running game is that good, and I don't think the offensive line is that good. I think Pittsburgh, you know, I think if you have some legit pass rushers, you can get to Tom Brady. I don't trust the offensive line right now. And maybe again, with this is New England, it can improve over the course of the season, but I think they're vulnerable. I think they're vulnerable at the point of attack offensively, and their defense. You can move the ball on them defensively. I mean, that like Pittsburgh went, and again, Pittsburgh is a very good offense. That's not. They have a top quarterback, great receiver, good tight end, but again, I thought, you know, I thought New England would win the game. Didn't think it would be as hard as it was, to be honest with you. I thought they would run away with the game, but again, in typical New England fashion, a game cannot go without controversy. You have again no radio communication for the Pittsburgh Steelers throughout the course of the first half. Tomlin was all over it in the press conference, did not mince words whatsoever, and made a point to say basically that this always happens when, you know, when he comes to Gillette, when they visit Gillette Stadium. And again, I don't want to hear, well, you know, people picking on the Patriots. They do this to themselves. Nobody's making up the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers communication went out. And it looks, again, you know, at, you know, in the press conference, you know, you have Belichick, you know, had Belichick singing his tune. Well, we had trouble with our communications and like anybody can prove that, can confirm that, okay? And then you have a situation where you come and find out where as soon as the league threatened to have New England cut their communication off, again, the Pittsburgh communication magically came back on. So, again, the more things change, the more they stay the same, as far as the New England Patriots go. I will say this. You're Tom Brady, okay, you throw four touchdown passes. You are the center of that franchise, one of the faces of the NFL. Do the damn interview for NBC. I don't want to hear Tom Brady has declined to talk to us. The NBC is spent the whole night basically kissing Tom Brady's ass regardless. Do the damn interview. Don't worry, I mean, it's going to be a 1 minute, 2 minute interview at most. They're not going to, Tafoya is not going to ask you, Ted Koppel questions. I mean, you know, hey, Tom, how does it feel to be back on the field? What about Gronk? Those are going to be the questions that you're going to be asked. To not to blow up that interview and then do the interview, do the press conference, it just makes zero sense to me whatsoever. Zero sense. Do the interview and keep it moving. Again, that is what drives you crazy about the Patriots. Just the arrogance of the franchise. You know what? I'm going to interview I'm going to do the interview with who I want to do the interview with. Again, no logic to it, because you pick. If you were going to blow off an interview, it would be the post game press conference when they could really drill you. You have to sit there, stand in front of, you know, a bunch of reporters. They're not going to drill you on a sideline press conference, sideline interview. It's going to take 2 minutes, if that, and they got to move on and get on with the broadcast. They have to end the broadcast. They can't go on long anyway. They have things they got to get to in terms of the post game. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Sir Roger O'Quinn. When we return, we'll talk Redskins, Dolphins, and much, much, much more on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk. We'll be right back. Thank you. 347-215-6180. As always, on this latest edition of 12 Dimensional Sports Talk featuring Sergio Quinn, as we get ready for another season of NFL football. Of course, it already kicked off on Thursday with New England taking out the Pittsburgh Steelers. Brady and Belichick just absolutely own the Steelers. Have owned them, especially considering the fact that the Steelers over the past decade has had probably cumulatively the best defense in all of football. I know that's not the case anymore, but even when Dick LeBeau was there, they had just found a way to shred the Steeler defense, and that certainly was the case on Thursday night. Couple programming notes, of course. We did a NFL preview show on Wednesday night with Robert Sapp and Chad Quinn. So you can always check that out. The archived show of that. It was obviously a lot. We had a lot of fun. Had our picks. I picked the Green Bay Packers, Green Bay over Baltimore as my Super Bowl pick. A lot of picks. Had a lot of fun with it. So catch that anytime. Go to iTunes.apple.com and look up 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn to catch up on this show or any other show. You can rate the show, comment, give you a comment on it. We prefer 5 stars. We would like a 5-star review, but your opinion is your opinion. I respect it regardless. So again, go to iTunes.apple.com and look up 1211 Sports Talk to rate this particular program. Washington Redskins, of course, will host the Miami Dolphins tomorrow afternoon at FedEx. Very interesting to see what the crowd's going to look like. You expect, a sellout crowd opening weekend, opening Sunday in football, for football. But again, I would expect to see. I want to see how many Redskins fans versus Dolphins fans. That's the thing that's going to interest me the most in terms of that goes. I want to see because the Redskins over the years have had trouble with visiting fans just coming in and basically taking over the stadium. Now, again, Miami, had the back-to-back championship teams in the 70s. Don Shula, Dan Marino, they have a national following. A lot of Dolphin fans out there. Now, maybe that has waned over the past 10 or 15 years as they just haven't been any good. But I'll be very curious to see, how many Miami fans are in the building. Listen, it's going to be a tough matchup for the Redskins. Luckily, the Redskins are catching Miami, opening week. And the game is at home. You have a situation where the Redskins' weakness is Miami's strength, and that's ability to rush the passer. Like, you put Ndamukong Suh, Cameron Wake, and the pressure, the heat is going to be on the Redskins offensive line to keep Kirk Cousins upright. And Ndamukong Suh, and I didn't mention this over the broadcast, during the football preview, you can make a case that Ndamukong Suh is the best defensive player in football. I mean, you really can make that case. Now, J.J. Watt puts up, scores the touchdowns, puts up the insane sack numbers. I understand that, but for what Ndamukong Suh does, number one, he destroys your running game. And he occupies 2 to 3 offensive linemen at any time. He's an automatic double team. There's no one guy on this planet that can block Sue. And by the way, he can get to your quarterback. Like, he single handedly almost beat the Cowboys last year in that playoff game. He was so dominant in that game. So that guy, you're gonna have to take 2 guys to deal with him, which is going to free up, which puts you in a situation where you're one-on-one with a Cameron Wake. Again, Miami is one of these teams that has as good as defense, has a legit top five defense. Rest is going to have a hard time scoring points. Kai Forbiff is going to be a big and is going to be a big part of this game because I get the feeling the Redskins are going to have to kick a few field goals in this game. And to me, you know, can the Redskins protect Kirk Cousins? Can they get to Ryan Tannehill? Because I'm not all the way sold or in love with the Miami offense. Matter of fact, on the other side, you know, Tannehill, the Miami offensive line has been shaky over the past two or three years during the time Tannehill has been a Dolphin. He's been sacked 139 times throughout the course of his career. So Kerrigan, Trent Williams, going to have huge games for the Redskins to have to be able to be in this game. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a very close game. Miami is not a team that blows people out. They have a great defense. But offensively, they are, you know, they could be a Jekyll and Hyde team offensively. This is certainly a winnable game for the Washington Redskins. It's not an impossible game. Home opener, week one of the football season, week one of the NFL season. You see a lot of upsets anyway. You're going to see a lot of things that, you know, you're going to see a lot of shocking results because teams are basically still, even though it's the regular season, in some ways it's the preseason because guys are still out of shape, not used to getting hit. So this opening weekend, you could look forward to a lot of just strange results. Strange results over the course of Sunday and Monday. Robert Griffin III has been cleared to play. The question is he going to be the backup? Listen, as a black backup or the number three quarterback. I don't understand why it hasn't came out yet. It's not a tough decision. Like, you either know that if he's clear to play, it's clear to me with, like, if he's number two. If he's on the roster, he has to be number two. Like, again, we've gone through this last week and over the course of the past couple of days about the fact that he should not be on the roster, that he should have been cut to begin with and should not be on the roster. But if he is going to be on the roster and not be a starter, he has to be number. You can't have him as your third quarterback. I mean, that's just like that. But this is the Washington Redskins. So, like, with that being said, anything is possible. Anything. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of 12M Sports Talk. When we return, we'll get into some baseball as well as college football and NFL picks still to come. That's coming up on 12M Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. As you call them on this latest edition of 12M Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. As we discuss the world of sports, many of these baseball races are set in stone. You still have, of course, the AL West with Houston, Texas, NL AL East with the Yankees and Toronto, also that second wild card spot. Second wild card spot still could be could be up for grabs, not up for grabs, but still have some time left before that gets put away. Toronto knocked around the Yankees, and they knocked around the Yankees last night. Five home runs, David Price gets the win. I think they're probably going to have a double. I want to say probably going to have a double header today because they had a rainout on Thursday. So they'll probably do a doubleheader today. And in essence, this series is probably going to decide who wins that division. Right now, Toronto's 2.5 up. Yankees really need to win. I don't say they have to win the next three, but they have to get at least they can't drop 3 out of 4. So the Yankees have to get at least 2 out of these next 3 games to stay, to keep Toronto close within striking distance, but keep Toronto in striking distance. I believe Yankees are going to make the playoffs anyway, but again, you much rather win a division and guarantee yourself a 5-game series than have to go basically a win or go home situation with the divisional, with the 2 wild card spots and the 2 wild card spots. The Washington Nationals, of course, had a week to forget, as they were absolutely put out their misery by the New York Mets in a 3-game series that basically epitomized the Washington Nationals season in many ways. Up and down offense, good starting pitching, awful bullpen. That's basically what the Nationals have been throughout the course of this season. And again, all 3 games, Nationals were ahead and lost late. Drew Storen is just a disaster right now. Drew Storen, can't trust him in any big spots moving forward for the rest of this year at least. And, who knows? I mean, Drew Storen, certain guys just can't convert out of who they are, out of what and who they are. Certain guys are eighth inning guys, cannot become closers. Certain guys are closers, and they're not good in the seventh or eighth innings. Sometimes you are who you are. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, that's just there's no getting away. There's no getting away around it. And Drew Storen is, he's a closer. He's not an eighth inning guy. He has the stuff to be an eighth inning guy, but he's a closer. So, it's a lot. When you're pitching as a closer, as a late inning guy, great stuff is one thing, but let's be honest, it's more psychological than anything. And when the mind goes, when you don't believe you can get outs, you're done. And again, Drew Storen is shot for this season. He just can't, you can't trust him in any big spots. And again, that has been the Nationals' problem the entire year, has been that bullpen. That bullpen has over four and a half ERA since the All-Star break. They've been awful. That was a concern coming into the season. Everybody talked about, the great starting pitching, and this could be the best starting pitching in baseball. But for whatever reason, the bullpen was absolutely ignored. And again, that's not a Matt Williams issue. That is a Mike Rizzo issue, not a Matt Williams issue. With that being said, I think it comes to a point with a franchise that you have a nucleus of players together for so long, and you're expecting, major things. You have championship aspirations. It might be time. It's time from a national standpoint, it's time for a shakeup with their nucleus. I feel like this nucleus has been together 3 years where you were expected to get to the World Series, minimum the playoffs, and they have one playoff appearance to show for it. So, I'm not saying you break up the team. No, you don't break up the team. You have to. I say that you just might have to consider maybe trading a Ryan Zimmerman. Okay? You're going to have to do something with Strasburg and Zimmerman and Jordan Zimmerman. You're going to have to do something with that dynamic. Maybe you move a Strasburg. I would keep Jordan. I would do whatever it takes to try to keep Jordan Zimmerman. But the national bottom line is the Nets need a shakeup. You can't come back 2016 status quo and say, hey, as long as we had injuries, if we're healthy, we feel confident. No. You can't, because everybody has injuries. Cardinals have had injuries. The Mets had injuries. How many games did David Wright miss? Everybody has injuries. Yankees got injuries. The Sheriff's going to be out for the rest of the season. Okay. Rangers are pitching. Rangers might make the playoffs without their best pitcher in Yu Darvish. So injuries are a part of sports, a part of baseball in particular. Three four seven two one five six one eight zero is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. When we return, week one in the league with no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. No signature games this week. A couple good games, but no signature games. I got a three-pack for you. We start off at the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado, where the Denver Broncos are hoping to lick their wounds coming off a disappointing divisional loss against the Indianapolis Colts in last year's playoffs. They begin hosting a team who I think is going to be in the Super Bowl, the Baltimore Ravens. Denver is a 4.5-point favorite. For my money, that's too many points. I love this Baltimore offense. I think Baltimore is one of the best offensive lines in football. I think Joe Flacco, I've always been a Joe Flacco fan. Yes, he is elite. Justin Forsett, one of the better running backs. I like Baltimore to cover, if not defeat, the Denver Broncos. I don't trust Denver coming out of preseason. I'm unsure about, everybody's talking about how great their defense is going to be. We'll see about that. Offensively, I think they can struggle. I'm really worried about Peyton Manning coming into this year. I think the offense is going to put up points, but I don't think it's going to be the potent Denver offense that we've seen over the last 2 to 3 years. So, take Baltimore with points. It's going to be a field goal game. That's pick number one. Number two, game number two. Seattle going down to St. Louis. Seattle's a 4-point favorite. As of right now, Cam Chancellor is not going to play. I think Seattle's a team that catch early. Like now, I think Seattle's a team that gets better as the season moves on. I think this is a perfect time if you're St. Louis to catch the Seattle Seahawks. Especially on the road. We know Seattle is not a great road team. St. Louis, if they want to make their mark in that division, needs to take care of home, take care of their house, especially within the division. I like the I'd like the Rams outright to beat the Seattle Seahawks. I think it's going to be a very close game. We know what the Rams defense is about. The question is, can the Rams get enough offense this year to contend with the likes of Seattle and Arizona in that division? But in this particular game, I will take the Rams in a close defensive battle, 21-17, that type of score. Remember, I don't like Seattle beginning the season. I think they're a slow starting team. I think I can see that. I think they will work their way into the season and then make their run in November and December. Green Bay and Chicago. Green Bay has owned Chicago Bears in the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre era. Especially in the Aaron Rodgers era, they have owned the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy era. They absolutely own the Bears. Everybody thinks the Bears defense is going to be improved. I have to see it to believe it. 6.5 points is a lot on the road within a division. I understand that, and it's a rivalry game. Forget about it. Take the points and then some. I like Green Bay big in this game. I'm talking 31-17, that type of score, 34-20. I like them in double digits. Again, the Green Bay Packers own the Chicago Bears, and I don't see where that – I just don't see how that changes. And even in this particular game, even – despite having no Jordy Nelson for the Green Bay Packers. So, Baltimore with the points. St. Louis outright to upset the Seattle Seahawks. And the Green Bay Packers with the points for the Chicago Bears. Week one pick in the league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. Is your call number in this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Sergio Quinn as we have our first full weekend of pro and college football. Big time college football game tonight. Oregon going out to Michigan State. East Lansing for a top 10 matchup with Oregon and Michigan State. Michigan State looking to avenge last year's loss to Oregon in a game where for about three and a half quarters, Michigan State looked like they could possibly take Oregon out. Oregon has a late run in the third quarter and ran away in the fourth quarter to make the game look more lopsided than it actually was. That game actually was much closer than the score indicated. I expect, if you're Michigan State is kind of to me where Virginia Tech was, I would say, about 10 years ago. Consistent team, top 10 program, on the cusp of being a championship-type program. And Now, I know Virginia Tech did get to one championship game with against Florida State, but outside of that, they kind of, you know, just stayed consistently in that top 10, top 15, which is fine. But I think Michigan State has bigger aspirations to be. I think Michigan State could be a top 7, 5, top. They could break into that select company of programs. And if you want to do that, these are the types of games you have to win. At home, against another top 10 team, especially coming off a loss the previous year, Michigan State wants to put themselves, propel themselves into the national championship conversation. This is basically a must-win game. Now, again, this will not knock them out of the playoff hunt, because non-conference game, and the fact that they still, you know, again, you have Ohio State, Wisconsin, so they still have their entire Big Ten schedule. But if they want to, again, you want to go to the next level, these are the games that you have to win in order to take that next step. We know Michigan State is loaded on defense. I'm not in love with Connor Cook as a quarterback for the pros, but he is a good college. He is a perfect guy for the college game. Oregon, again, I was not down. I was not high on Oregon coming into this year. They were terrible against Eastern Washington, giving up a bunch of points defensively. We know they can score. I like Michigan State in this game. I think Michigan State wins a relatively close game. I can see it, 34-27, 34-31, that type of game. But again, if you're Michigan State and you want to go to the next level, you want to be on par with the Ohio States, with the Alabamas, with the Florida States, with those types of programs, these are the games you have to win in order to make that happen. A couple other college games of note: Oklahoma and Tennessee. Again, Tennessee looking to make his way back into the national relevance as far as a legit top 25 program, needs to win this game versus Oklahoma. Oklahoma last year took them apart down part in Norman. Tennessee gets a chance to return the favor. LSU, Mississippi State, the first real big clash in terms of the SEC. We're going to see LSU's quarterback situation, how that's going to go. And again, this first major test in that just brutal SEC Western Division. Speaking of the SEC, so much for what's wrong with the SEC. SEC, after last weekend, comes into this week with 10 teams ranked in the Associated Press Top 25. 10. And really had its way non-conference last week. And you look at the two matchups last week. Texas A&M destroying Arizona State, and Alabama just frankly toying, and I mean toying, with Wisconsin. So, all the talk about, SEC being down this year, are they taking a step back, and so on, calm down. Top to bottom, the SEC is still hands down the best conference from top to bottom. May not have the one dominant team, but again, you don't need to have a dominant team in order to be the best conference in the country. And clearly, the SEC is still the best conference in the country. And really, really, just it made no sense for how Texas A&M was not ranked in the top 25 to start the season was just beyond me. I never understood that whatsoever. How that was even possible, considering how much offensive talent that team has. And just on offense alone, they are a top 20 team. Okay, what they could do, and they're improved defensively, but offensively, they are absolutely, without question, a top offensive team in the country. Notre Dame win, calm down. Texas has not been relevant since the Vince Young era. So I think people kind of just overreacted to that win. They beat a bad Texas team. Charlie Strong clearly has some issues there with that program. Who knows how long he's going to last if they have another terrible year. But no, I thought people would just, let's see Notre Dame play somebody play a ranked team or play somebody of relevance before we say that Notre Dame can be a legit, can be a playoff team or even or a championship caliber team. I have to see more out of Notre Dame before I go crazy from that standpoint. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk. We'll be right back. After the 10 o'clock hour on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. Of course, a busy, busy sports weekend. Not a signature game in the NFL this week. A couple of good games. New Orleans, Arizona should be interesting. See how New Orleans can bounce back off a lost season. See, you know, Arizona's offense with Carson Palmer being back. Of course, you had the Monday night slate, which is, you know, San Francisco, Minnesota, if that gets you excited, Philadelphia, Atlanta, you know, that, you know, it's Dallas, the Giants, Dallas, New York should be interesting. Dallas Giants should be, is always interesting as far as the NFC East goes. That's your Sunday night game. Of course, Eli Manning getting the 4-year, $84 million extension, $64 million guaranteed total in terms of the total, in terms of the guaranteed money total. There was no way in the world that the New York Giants were ever going to let Eli Manning reach free agency, despite him, you know, him, his inconsistent play at times from season to season. The guy still is a two-time Super Bowl winner and still has some good years left in him. You're not going to let that kind of guy just, again, not that many quarterbacks in the NFL who are walking around with championship rings. I heard a lot of talk, well, you know, maybe this could be it for Eli, like, you know, slow down. It's just not like what we've seen with these quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning. You don't just give up or just give in to the fact that to not fan pressure, but just to talk that, hey, they are not on this level, don't do this, don't do that. Phillip Rivers doesn't have a championship ring, but Phillip Rivers has been as productive, has been a legit top five, in terms of production. Phillip Rivers over the past 5 years, over the past 7 to 8 years, has been a top five quarterback. Just look at his numbers in terms of production. You lose Phillip Rivers, you're not replacing that guy. Same with Eli Manning. Two Super Bowl rings, great 8-3 playoff record. You lose him, you don't replace him. So, you like market value, you want to say it's a lot of money with the extension. He plays the most important position in all the sports, and this is what the market demands. So, he's probably in terms of what they mean to their franchise, they're both getting what they deserve. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. I will see you next time. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your day. So long.